What led you to do such extensive research into olive oil? Professor Vassalou, maybe you could start off.
Yes. It is essentially the passion that both Tassos and I will have about olive oil and the beneficial effects of olive oil on human health. We know all the benefits. We just wanted to be sure that, you know, the word is spread about the beneficial effects of olive oil. The other thing is to promote research and education on everything that has to do with olive oil and olive products.
Let's talk a bit about direct health benefits that you tout, if we could. Are there things about olive oil when it comes to health benefits that most of us don't know about? Professor Kyriakides, maybe you could weigh in on that.
There's a lot of science that's coming out now. The most recent example is type 1 diabetes and the benefits on that, but also protection of sun rays and things like that. The exciting thing is that there's a lot more that's constantly being discovered. It's just a matter of how do we harness all that information and pass on the right information for the consumer to be knowledgeable of what this superfood, I would call it, would have to offer.
I think maybe less well known would be how olives are good for the planet generally. You've said that the trees, the olive trees, are a major carbon sink?
Yes, that's another dimension. It is the number one carbon sink. It takes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, puts it in the soil where it belongs. And if you think about it, you plant something that has that effect and needs very minimal care. And at the same time, it helps clean up the environment. And by the way, it gives you something, both olives, olive oil, as well as byproducts that can be used in very beneficial ways for public health.
So olive trees are more effective as absorbing CO2 than other trees are?
Yes, correct.
Other than in food, how would you like to see people using olive oil?
There's a lot of work now. There's a couple of cosmetic industries that are using olive oil and its products to put in creams, sunscreen, lip balm, because of its ability to protect against radiation. I've heard, and I'm sure people are using it for topical applications for skin. You think about inflammatory processes that are on the skin surface. If you use an anti-inflammatory, probably will help.
Tell us now about the institute that the two of you would like to establish. First of all, why in New Haven? Why not the Mediterranean or a place in the world where olive trees grow naturally?
We wanted this institute to serve as the interface and catalyst between U.S. and global entities working in this space. Olives, olive oil, the trees, everything. And not in the Mediterranean, because now there's other olive oil producing countries that are coming up strong. Australia, Chile, some cases in Brazil, even China, Japan. So there's a lot of other places that we have to include them. You think of the Southern Hemisphere, when the Mediterranean is not producing olive, not harvesting, now you have the Southern Hemisphere, Australia, producing olive oil. So we wanted to bring everybody together.
Could you tell me a bit more about what you hope the Institute will be able to do?
Well, we're trying to develop analytical methods to check the quality of the olive oil, the originality of olive oil, so that we can ensure the consumer that what he is buying is the right thing. Because do you remember, actually, NPR had the big issue 2 years ago about the scam of the olive oil, the Italian olive oil, that was essentially putting a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and the other was not high quality and they were selling it. So we want to be sure that the consumer is protected. We also would like to really stimulate the partnerships and collaboration between individuals, the industry, the research community, and the producers, and also the consumer, that we're all on the same page, because there are a lot of false statements. For example, people say don't use olive oil to fry or to cook because it's not good, it has more calories. So there are a lot of misinformation in there that we would like to cover.
So the information that I've heard about olive oil burning more easily, and that means it's really not a good thing to use in some circumstances, that's not necessarily true. So I should not be using grapeseed oil in place of olive oil?
Yes, Tom. That's one of the myths that a lot of organizations out there are trying to dispel. we always hear the smoke point of olive oil is 415, 420, so it's not that good if it starts burning. I don't know a lot of people who cook at that temperature, and even if you do, as shown by research that's been done, proves otherwise.
Something that governments around the world have had little luck in regulating is climate change, and I'm wondering, is climate change having an impact on olive groves?
Yes, there is definitely. I was recently on a trip down to the Puglia area in Italy, and one of the things they're seeing there is one of the main killers of the tree, Xylella, and they've seen it in places where they've never seen it before. And obviously, climate change has impacted the expansion of diseases in places where before it was not seen. So we have to be proactive in that as we're seeing this coming up, because it's not just the impact it will have on the production of it, but now you have whole families and generations of families producing olive oil. Now they're at risk of not having a livelihood.
The other thing I may add, that climate change is here. You know, it is very obvious. So the thing is, what do we do? What is the next step? How we can be prepared to maintain a steady state production or even have higher production of olive oil with these new conditions?
Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Professors Tasos Konstantinou-Kyriakidis and Vasilis Vassiliou are research professors at the Yale School of Public Health. They're working to create an institute for olive science and health in New Haven.